You're listening to Wheelationships.
We're about done with the apology segment of this class. We've been talking for several weeks about apology, and hopefully our discussion of apology has been helpful for you. I know it's been helpful for me. The subtitle to one of the books we've been using, this book by John Cador, Effective Apology, the subtitle really says why this whole idea of apology is important. The subtitle is Mending Fences, Building Bridges, and Restoring Trust. Because we're not perfect, we're really good at breaking fences and burning bridges and damaging trust. And if we're going to have good relationships, then we need to know how to apologize for those times we fail and do that. When we trespass into somebody else's fence, or we burn our bridges or do those kinds of things. And so if we don't effectively apologize, we won't get back to the place in our relationship where we really long to be. And so that's why we've spent this time on apology. Today we're going to talk about the three different types of apology. Like I said, we're about at the end of this. We've really taught to the first type of apology, the best kind of apology. But we're going to talk about all three types of apology that we tend to use. And you have this chart, and that's mostly where we're going to spend our time this morning, is this chart. We've given you this, where we're going to do the three types of apology, and we're going to compare them in five different dimensions of apology. Now, we've talked about the five languages of apology, but there are also five kind of parts or dimensions of apology that we're going to talk about this morning, and they do correspond quite a bit to the languages of apology. And if this is all confusing for you, just hang on. I'm just trying to give you a preface, and we'll walk through this. So the five dimensions of apology, and these are what go down the left side of that chart. The five dimensions of apology. The first dimension is recognition. Recognition. Now, I'm sorry it's kind of small on the screen, so those of you in the back have to squint. Maybe pull out your old lady glasses or something. I don't know. Sorry. That was a weak apology. Recognition. Recognition. That's the first dimension of apology. Do you know what the offense is? Do you recognize what you've done wrong? Do you recognize what the facts are about the offense? Do you see it clearly? Are you seeing it the way the other person is seeing it? Are you seeing it the way the victim is seeing it? Do you recognize it? That's the first dimension of apology. The second dimension is responsibility. It's the second dimension. It's also the second language of apology. We talked about being able to identify the responsibility for the offense and let the other person hear, I was wrong. I had a responsibility here. I was wrong. That's the second dimension. Third dimension is remorse. Now, we call this regret, and this is also the first language of apology, but in this dimension, this comes out as, I'm sorry. I have remorse. I have regret in this. The fourth dimension, restitution. It was the fourth dimension. It was also a language of apology. We talked about this sometime. And the fifth dimension, fifth part of apology, is repetition. We called this repentance. When you speak it, it's called repentance. You give some acknowledgement that you don't want it to ever happen again. It's repetition, but really it's not repeating, non-repetition. If you make a good apology, an effective apology, you'll assure the other person that you don't want it to ever happen again. So we're going to look at these three different types of apology, and we're going to compare them in these five areas. And the first type of apology is what we've been teaching to. It's the most effective type of apology. It's the wholehearted apology. Is it there? It's there now. Wholehearted apology. This is the fullest, most sincere, most effective apology you can possibly give. It takes the most effort. It yields the most results. So what does a wholehearted apology look like? Well, first, in the area of recognition, a wholehearted apology will specify the offense. It will specify the offense. A wholehearted apology will be able to identify, I know you're getting that second blank, but just stay with me, okay? A wholehearted apology will specify exactly what happened, what went wrong, what I did wrong in this. If there's more than one offense involved, because many times when we do something, we kind of pile on to it. You know, we do something wrong and then we, you know, try to fix it and we do something else wrong. And, you know, it's not just what we did, it's how we did it. And it's, so a good, effective, wholehearted apology will not only specify the offense, it'll specify the different parts of the offense. I did this wrong, and I did this wrong, and I did that wrong. And I'm apologizing for each part of this. If a wholehearted apology, if it's really wholehearted, then you're not going to try to combine those and try to slough it off as one offense. There could be multiple parts. And it will not only identify each part of the offense, but a wholehearted apology is going to identify the principle or the code that was violated. In other words, not only what I did that was wrong, but why it was wrong. This is what I did. It was wrong. I know it was wrong because of this. If I can't say, you know, you lash out in anger, okay? You apologize for that. And it's not just that you were angry and you spoke angrily, but it was wrong because, well, why was it wrong? Okay. There is, you're apologizing for a reason. And so you ought to be able to articulate that reason. If I can't tell you why it was wrong, then I really don't get it. I mean, think about it when somebody apologizes to you, and I think you understand it a little bit. You know, if they can't tell you, if they just say, well, I was wrong, why do you think that? Well, I don't know. It just seemed like I was wrong. I don't know. They don't get it. So being able to specify what you did and why it was wrong is a wholehearted apology. It's saying, okay, I get it. And even if I don't fully get it, I'm trying to get it. Okay? And if you can help me with this, that would be great. In this area of recognition, the wholehearted apology is trying to come to an agreement on the facts. When you're making a wholehearted apology, you're trying to reach for an agreement. You're trying to make an effort to fully agree to the facts of the offense and what can be done to restore the relationship. Because remember, that's your primary goal, is to restore the relationship, make it good again. However, sometimes because of different perceptions, and this, some of you may, your mind may have already been going here, but you're going, well, but they think it's because of this, and I think it's because of this. Or they see this, and I see the facts differently. And they got all upset about that, and I really don't see it that way. Well, if you're making a wholehearted apology, then it might be hard to see their perceptions. You might not even see their perceptions. You may look at it and go, well, I don't really think they did what I thought I did or what they thought I didn't do. But if you're really after a wholehearted apology, then you'll also be willing to concede the facts. The wholehearted apology will, if necessary, concede the facts. I don't see it as you do, but you do see it that way. And that is the way it affected you. And so I'm going to concede that. I may never see it the way you see it. I don't need to see it the way you see it. I'll concede that. That makes sense? Follow that? Or are you just ready to concede that to me? Yeah. All right. Does anybody have any hesitation with this? Okay. One honest man.
So, like, when it's saying it?
With this whole thing of, does this, you know, specifying the offense and conceding the facts, is there something in you that goes, I'm hesitating? Yeah?
If it's wrong, it's wrong. If it's right, it's right. And conceding the facts at this point for the rose-colored glasses brigade can sometimes be over the top.
See, here's the thing. Now, I would say Ray's pretty blunt, okay? We don't tend to be that blunt. But I'd say a lot of times we have some hesitation there where we're going, but we have some, to really let it go and make this wholehearted thing and say, here's what I did wrong. Even if I don't see it that way, but I'll concede the fact that there's some hesitation there. Or there can be. Are you really ready to say, okay, yes, I can't wait to put this into practice? Okay. Two words you need to write down. They're not anywhere in your notes. You won't find a blank for them. You can write these down just to help you out. Just to remind yourself. First word is defensiveness. I would describe in most of the cases that's what you're feeling. You're feeling a little bit of defensiveness. Defensiveness is not a bad thing. God gave us this feeling of defensiveness to protect ourselves when we need protecting. But in the area of wholehearted apology, you can't be defensive and make a wholehearted apology. Can't. Impossible. Okay, you're almost there, okay? Defensiveness is going to kill an apology. It's going to kill a wholehearted apology. You won't be able to make a wholehearted, effective apology be defensive at the same time. The second word you need to write down. And this is not just a male word, okay? We hear this word, we think male, men, okay? Because this is not a male word. This is a male and female word because this word is what men and women are trying to protect.
What is this word?
Ego. Okay. You like you. Mostly, I like me. There are things about me I don't, particularly like, but I like me. And I like, I like me not to be hurt. I like me not to be feeling, down and negative. So I try to defend me. I don't want to be seen as weak. I don't want to be seen as defensive or deficient. I don't want to be seen as having less or being less. I don't want to be seen as wrong. That's ego. Again, ego's part of us. God gave it to us. But in the area of making an effective, wholehearted apology, if you're defensive, usually it has something to do with the ego you're defending. So just take those two words and remind yourself. When you're feeling defensive and when you're feeling like making less than a wholehearted, full-out apology, remind yourself, say, what I'm feeling here may be defensiveness. Maybe. And what I may be defending here is just my ego. And when you want to give something other than a wholehearted apology, just ask yourself, is my ego and my defensiveness, is it worth more than this relationship? Just like you said. Yeah.
Well, I'm probably dressing it up so it doesn't hurt so bad calling it ego, but for me...
Defensive of that, are we?
Okay. Because it sounds a whole lot better than ego. I so hunger to be understood.
Sure.
And I realize that can all go back down to ego, but you get caught in that trap that comes across as being defensive when it really is my hunger for you to understand where I'm coming from. And of course, I ultimately believe if you understood that, you would agree with me.
Of course.
But that's beside the point. This is so
okay.
Painful.
Painful, isn't it? Yes, it's.
That's the whole conceding the facts and then just the vulnerability.
Okay. Because, and again, in conceding the facts, you're just conceding that There are some things we will never see the same way. But you have to concede that the way they're seeing it is the way they're seeing it. That, okay, I don't get that, but I'm conceding that when I said that to you, it was painful and it was hurtful and it was harmful. And I should not have said it, and I am sorry I said it. I regret saying it. Is there anything I can do to make it up to you? You know, all that kind of stuff. So it's important. Because I'm invested and I feel important in the relationship. Yes?
What do you do with the person that knows they hurt your feelings, blows it off, walks away, and never says another word? That frustrates me so bad on the inside.
Well, then that's the other side of it where you have to deal with that, and you have to go to all the things of forgiveness and other things that we know about. So, and find that bridge. There's a map to it somewhere in the Bible. So what does, because, man, I got to hurry. What does the wholehearted apology look like in the dimension of responsibility? Well, it's going to accept responsibility. It's going to accept undiluted, not watered down, full-bodied, full-frontal responsibility. Ouch. In the area of remorse, the wholehearted apology will express personal remorse. Express personal remorse. I was wrong. I was wrong. I wish I hadn't done it. I have regret that I did this, that I caused this, that I was behind this, that I was the impetus for this. That's expressed, that's explicit, personal remorse. That's wholehearted. We talked about what the wholehearted restitution looks like. It's Jesus' admonition to pay the uttermost farthing. Pay the uttermost farthing. It's wholehearted restitution is generous. It doesn't stop at what makes me as the offender feel better. You ever offer an apology just so far, just so you feel like you said it and got it off your chest, but you really weren't going any farther than that? Well, then you're not really giving a wholehearted apology. You're not really making restitution. You ever been offered that? Yeah, probably. Wholehearted restitution attempts to fully restore the offended person back to the place that they were before the offense happened. It goes so far as to sacrifice if necessary. That sounds very Jesus-like to me, but okay. Wholehearted repetition explicitly pledges to not repeat the offending conduct. Wholehearted repetition will explicitly pledge to not repeat the offending conduct. Okay? Easy, right? All right, well, let's go to the second type of apology. The second type of apology happens because of what we just talked about, of our defensiveness, of trying to maintain and defend our ego and other things. When we feel threatened and we feel defensive, then what are we going to do? We're going to hold back. We're going to hold a little reserve, just a little bit. We go just so far withholding something in some attempt to gain the benefits of the wholehearted apology without going actually that far. So we call this a half-hearted apology. You could also call it an almost apology. You know, if you've ever been offered a half-hearted, almost apology, it sounds like an apology, but there's just something quite not, it's not there. There's something missing, and sometimes you can't quite put your finger on it. It sounds kind of like an apology, but there's something, and you just can't quite grasp what's not there, and you're looking for it, but you know you're under the pressure of having this apology come at you. And so a lot of times the person that's been offended, the victim, will accept the half-hearted apology because they don't want to be seen as the bad guy. and they'll accept the half-hearted apology. And if that happens, then the offender got away with what they wanted to get away with. They were able to get all the benefits of the wholehearted apology, and they didn't have to pay the same price. It's like Black Friday apology. Yeah. So, for the victim, we accept it because we want the relationship restored and we want to get back to the place. But John Cador, this guy here, says it's like seeing someone who is drowning 20 feet from shore and you throw them a 15-foot rope. Hey, what are you upset about? I met you more than halfway. Could have thrown you a 10-foot rope. That would have been halfway, but at least I threw you 15. You ain't great. Okay, back to the chart. The half-hearted apologist will hint at the offense and argue the facts. Hint at the offense and argue the facts. We need a camera on Barbara over here. This is the presentation of the facts solely from the standpoint, the viewpoint of the offender. Without seeking agreement, without real empathy for the victim, this is simply kind of hinting at what was wrong and arguing and kind of forming the facts as you see them, giving your justification for why it happened, the way it happened. In the area of responsibility, the half-hearted apologist attempts to share responsibility. If possible, they're going to implicate the victim in this. We both share the blame. Nobody's perfect, okay? It's not all me. You share in some of this. If you hadn't, this is why a clear agreement of the facts is necessary. It's also why that an explicit admission of why you did what was wrong is present, so that there's no equivocating, there's no kind of wiggle room here on the fact that you were wrong. The half-hearted apologist will posture impersonal remorse. Posture, kind of make a show of impersonal remorse. Instead of, I regret that I did it, I was wrong, it comes out more like, that's so unfortunate, I wish it had happened differently. As far as restitution, they will offer words without actions. There will be no significant remedy offered, certainly nothing that hints of any sacrifice or generosity. I'm sorry. I wish there was more that I could do. Do you really? Best Buy. And for repetition, the half-hearted apologist will offer an incomplete pledge to not repeat the offending conduct. Will offer an incomplete pledge to not repeat the offending conduct. In general, a half-hearted apology will not even address the issue of repetition. Or if it does, it'll be so general it won't even matter. How do you know when you're giving or you're getting a half-hearted apology? Here are some examples. At the bottom of your sheet below the chart, we have some examples of half-hearted apologies. I'm going to tell you why they fail and how to turn a half-hearted apology into a wholehearted apology. The first is the explanation apology that I think somebody referenced. But they feel so good. I am so sorry I didn't call when I said I would. I got another call. Okay, let me translate that for you. Please understand, I consider someone else more important than you. How do you fix that? Well, just listen for the explanation. If you feel yourself about to give an explanation, stop. Stop. Just stop. Just stop, okay? Okay? Put the shovel away and stop. Because almost always your explanation is going to turn into an excuse, at least in the ears of the person who you're giving the apology to. Just stop before you get there. Now, see, this is tough. Now, I wrote this down. nobody had to say anything here. This is tough for those of you that feel the need to give an explanation. You have this, you must explain everything. So you need, okay, if the other person asks, then please answer their question. But if they don't ask, shut up. Just offer your apology. If they ask, tell them, but always go back to the apology, because it's not about your reason. It's about the apology that you were wrong. Here's another one. It's not what I meant apology. I'm good at this one. I'm sorry you took it that way. It wasn't what I meant. Now here's the translation. It's too bad you didn't understand me. Yeah, you're too stupid to understand me. What's your problem? Better. Here's how to turn this more into a wholehearted apology. I'm sorry I wasn't more careful about my intentions, about expressing myself. I'm sorry I wasn't careful about that. I hurt you in what I did. Listen for the defense of your intentions. See, a wholehearted apology is more concerned with the consequences of the behavior than it is the intentions. We get stuck on our intentions. Well, I meant to do good. Well, you did bad. And that's what you ought to focus on. I don't care that you meant to do good. You did bad. And that's what we're apologizing for. Stay there. The counterattack apology. Here's an example of the counterattack apology. I'm sorry I didn't call when I said I would. Is this your time of the month? Translation is, maybe you're getting upset about my not calling because, you know, you're hormonal or something. Here's a better version of that. Yeah. See, you just made it worse. You just made it worse. Here's a better apology. I'm sorry I didn't call when I said I would. That's it. Most half-hearted apologies can be fixed just by shutting up after the apology. Just stop. The counterattack tries to shift the blame and share the blame instead of accepting 100% responsibility. Here's the I want to apology. The I want to apology, also known as the I'd like to apology. For instance, I want to apologize for acting like such a jerk. Do you accept my apology? Translation is, maybe if I tell you I want to, you think I really did. Well, I didn't. Better is, I apologize for acting like such a jerk. State it outright, okay? Not just I'd want to. Well, if you want to, go ahead and do it. The stuff happens apology. For instance, I'm really sorry for what happened. It was such a mess. Oh, I'm just sorry. It was just, oh. The translation is, things are just out of control. I can't control them. It wasn't my fault. It was something else. It was just the way it, you know, stuff happens. Stuff happens. Better. Here's a better version of this. I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry. This is an attempt to remove the blame, suggest that just circumstances, the stars, whatever, that I wasn't really what started out the chain of events. It's out of control because I, you know, kind of kicked it into motion, but I don't want to take the blame for that. There's the indirect apology. You'll hear this more from companies and kind of politicians and stuff, you know. On behalf of our CEO, I would like to apologize. Well, the translation is, the CEO thinks this isn't worth his time to actually apologize himself. It's the indirect apology. The only appropriate person that can apologize for your actions is you. The blanket apology. The blanket apology. Now, for anyone that's been offended by what happened, I can only say it's unfortunate and... I'm sorry it happened. That translation of that is, whoever you are, whatever happened, I don't care. You know, just I'm going to throw it out there and hoping that covers you. Because without specifics, if you don't specify what happened and your part in it and what you did wrong, then you've got a blanket apology. You have to be specific. There's the apology in advance. Please bear with me as I sing. I want to apologize in advance if this doesn't, you know, if this is a little rough and it doesn't sound good. The translation of that is I'm just too lazy to actually prepare for this. Apologizing is based on accepting responsibility for something that has already happened, and you're promising not to repeat the behavior. So if you apologize in advance, you're just being lazy. You're being morally lazy for not taking care of what you need to take care of. You know it's going to happen, so take care of it. And finally, the passing the buck apology. Boy, I'm sorry for the inconvenience. My wife is really normally reliable. My secretary, boy, she would, I don't know what happened there, because I'm sorry. The translation is don't blame me, it's their fault. It's not me, it's them. Better, I'm sorry for the inconvenience. How can I make it up to you? Because it may have been somebody else, but if you're making a wholehearted apology, then you're taking responsibility and you're taking the initiative to make restitution and to fulfill this. So either, as I think Ray said it, either you accept responsibility or you don't. And if you're not ready to accept responsibility, then don't bother apologizing. You're just going to make it worse. A half-hearted apology is worse than not making any apology at all. Because you're just going to, you're going to be more apt to make ineffective, half-hearted apologies in the place that you feel most insecure or defensive. You may be really good at apology at home, but in the workplace, when the boss is coming at you, you may make some really half-hearted apologies and try to shift blame and do everything because you feel really defensive. Or the other way around, you may feel attacked or really defensive in the home because you're uncomfortable in the relationship, and you'll end up making some really bad apologies. So you just got to remind yourself, defensiveness, ego, what am I trying to protect here? What am I trying to get to is good relationship. The third type of apology, back to your chart, isn't really an apology. It tries to look like an apology. In fact, it's the non-apology. What does a non-apologist do? Well, in recognition, the non-apologist will defend the offense and dispute the facts. In responsibility, the non-apologist will sidestep responsibility. Sidestep responsibility. When it comes to remorse or regret, they will withhold remorse. Certainly no personal regret. There may be some sort of general kind of remorse, but it's going to be impersonal, kind of sympathy. There's no personal empathy involved. In restitution, well, in restitution, the non-apologist kind of rejects the idea of restitution, or even that there's a need for restitution. What instead they probably will do is question the motives of the apology seeker. You're just trying to get money out of me. You're just trying to control me. You're just trying to tell me what to do. You're just trying to make my life miserable. You're just trying to be blah, blah, blah. Okay? And question the motives of why they would even seek an apology. How could you even say that after all I've done for you? Repetition, where the wholehearted apologist will give assurances to never repeating the offending conduct, the non-apologist will actually commit to repeat the offending conduct. I'm sorry this happened, but I got to tell you, if this temptation comes up again, well, I'll be forced to do it again. If we get in the same circumstances, I'm sure it'll happen again. I'm sorry. It's just the way it is. It's the way I am. It's the way I'm built. That's not an apology. That's a non-apology. Okay? Any questions? Any comments? Painful enough for you? All-time classic non-apology. The all-time classic non-apology. And you pointed out, if you just look at the news, you'll see it a lot. Politicians do this a lot. CEOs do it. Pointed out in the book, President U.S. Grant is on record in the middle of a problem saying these three words. Ronald Reagan said it. Guy that was dealing with problems in Iraq, he said it. Mistakes were made. That's a non-apology. Mistakes were made. Oh, really? Were they? And what part did you play in that? No, mistakes were made. Things happen. Stuff happens. Okay. The point here is our relationship with God gets hindered when we don't make a full, wholehearted apology. When we refuse to say, God, here's what I did wrong. Our relationships with others are affected just time and time again when we go half-hearted on them. So remember this, use this, come back to it, and have a good week.